Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Well, good morning and welcome to Circles of Change. We're with Dr. Zara Larson, as we say, where your path is created by walking on it. We're into our fifth season here on Talk Radio with ever the same intention to help you not circle back, but actually deliberately move and reflect and pull upon your lifetime of relationships and experiences together and wire them in new ways to move forward. So hello to all our visitors who've been descended upon Tucson here now for the next couple weeks for the International Gem and Mineral Show. We're delighted to have you in our town and hope you'll join our dedicated listeners, capturing some very pragmatic advice and maybe some unconventional wisdom today on personal and organizational change. Please also steal whatever we discuss shamelessly, not just to inform your own change journey, but help others with theirs. And for those of you who lead in organizations, whatever that level or context might mean, please listen for how you can help people not duck, but embrace the change agenda in front of your organization right now so that they actually could rally with you for higher sustainable and positive impact. If you miss any of our shows or you want to revisit something you hear today at a later date or point some other interested listeners our way, thank you very much. Please visit our podcast libraries from 2008, 9, 10, and into 11 and 12 on www.thelarsongroup.com. That's Larson with an E, where we have over 600 free, informative 20-minute segments from our over 250 shows. We're also mobile, so you can flip an easy switch, and those podcasts will automatically come to your smartphone every Friday. Simply text the message of Dr. Zara, just D-R-Z-A-R-A, to 69852. Again, Dr. Zara to 69852. So to our show today, we're going to open with broadcast partner Bruce Frankel from New York City. He's author of the acclaimed book, What Should I Do with the Rest of My Life? Bruce continues to expand the footprint of his research and writing on timely later in life personal, organizational, and social issues. And our topic is caring for caregivers and the role leaders can play in helping their employees deal with one of life's biggest challenges parenting our parents. Lynn Moran from Arizona Coaching and Consulting Center is a business and performance coach and a consultant who last month talked about pragmatic intentions for 2012 as opposed to resolutions. And today she's going to offer some tips and tricks to help us set up a framework to get there successfully amidst managing the overwhelming nature of our lives. During our second hour, we have two special guests, beginning with Laura Diamond, who's leading a double life. Laura is a third-generation leader of Seslick and Totko, her family's funeral home business outside of Pittsburgh. Plus, she moonlights as an actor and a model, recently being the stand-in and photo double for leading ladies Catherine Hegel and Rosamund Pike. We'll then wrap up the show connecting with Jacqueline Berger, a former financial services executive who shifted to follow her lifelong passion and fascination with the lives of the wives of the American's presidents. Now known as the First Lady's Lady, Jacqueline recently released Volume 2, 3 years in the making since Volume 1 of the three-part trilogy Love, Lies, and Tears, The Lives of America's First Ladies. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is the firm that I lead, and we serve individuals in the midst of personal career change and also consult within organizations in the state of change. And throughout our show today, as I say, you're sure to get a glimmer of, if not a raging spotlight upon, my philosophies and approaches to helping clients change their own status quo. Again, visit thelarsongroup.com or call us for a free 30-minute consultation. That's toll-free at 877-544-2580. Or send the email very simply, change@thelarsongroup.com, and tell us where you think you are or you aren't so we can get the ball of possibilities rolling. Again, it's toll-free, 877-544-2580. So stay tuned, as we're sure to have something here for everyone in our next 2 hours on Circles of Change. Thanks for joining us on 104.1 The Truth, Tucson News Talk FM. And sit back and enjoy a couple messages from our sponsors who fund our efforts, and then we'll be right back. Are you one of many Americans who have seen a decline in the value of your 401k? Are you rethinking your retirement plans? contact Loft Lopez & Associates. Loft Lopez & Associates' primary directive is to build wealth by controlling risk. They utilize an advance and protect strategy unparalleled in the industry. Contact Loft Lopez & Associates, 1-800-829-2523, or visit loftlopez.com, 1-800-829-2523. Registered representative securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a broker-dealer and member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisor representatives, Loft Lopez & Associates, LLC. A registered investment advisor, Cambridge and Loft Lopez & Associates, LLC are not affiliated.
Are you satisfied with the way your property looks? Rain Chaser Landscaping will transform it into a striking, natural, southwestern setting. Hi, I'm Greg Truby, and I have an intuitive sense of the land. I see not just what's there, but what could be. We use proven techniques to meet your soft and landscape needs. Contact us at rainchaser.com or 440-7331 for quality and responsive service. We are licensed, insured, and cover north, east, and central Tucson. Rain Chaser Landscaping recreates nature's beauty. We make a difference.
Are you achieving your goals at work and in your relationships and personal life? Personal accountability is the key. Mark Samuel is co-author of the book, The Power of Personal Accountability, Achieve What Matters to You. As president of Impact Corporation, Mark helps individuals and teams around the world overcome obstacles to reach new levels of fulfillment, excellence, and success. Visit www.marksamuel.com to learn about his accountability coaching services and products, or call 323-969-0088. MarkSamuel.com. Success you can count on. 323-969-0088. Welcome back to Circles of Change, and I'm now getting the opportunity to extend a Happy New Year to my broadcast partner for the first time, Bruce Frankel. How's everything in New York City today, Bruce?
How are you? Thank you very much. Happy New Year to you, Zara.
Thank you. Well, Bruce, for those of you who haven't followed our show, this is probably his 15th or 16th segment with me. He wrote a really intriguing book called What Should I Do with the Rest of My Life? It chronicles the stories of 12 individuals who went on to do extraordinary things after the age of 60, by the way. And along that line, Bruce is now following his own career and passion, touching into all these Act Two encore career life issues, and so broadening his field of view, in particularly of what does aging really mean in this day and age. And I know the topic today that's really come to us square and strongly is this whole idea of caring for caregivers, and really us wanting to talk about this as a leadership imperative, right?
Yeah, that's something I've been reading a lot about the costs and consequences of are not paying attention to caregiving, and it's an issue that's on our doorstep. It's huge, it's growing, and it seems imperative for our families that we face it. It's imperative for ourselves. It's imperative for our country's future.
Well, and in fact, of course, with all of us baby boomers aging at the same time of caring for our aging parents, it's a problem that's not going to go away, right? In fact, it's going to get even greater over the next 10 to 15 years when some of us, if we're not exercising, eating right, and staying mentally fit, it will become an even tougher nut to crack.
I mean, it doesn't matter which way you look at it.
Right.
The numbers are really severe, and so, yes, we have to really take care of ourselves, because the indications are right now that boomers actually are not going to be in as good health as their predecessors were, believe it or not, because of joint disease and diabetes and other issues. But there are going to be many more of them. The population of 65 plus is going to double over the next 20 years. But there are going to be fewer young children, fewer family members to take care of them. So we already have a problem that's severe. It's going to become even more severe unless we both take care of ourselves, but also begin to address at a kind of at every level. In business in particular, I see a requirement that we really stop living in denial and face up to the issues. And it's interesting, I was thinking about this last night, that, you know, the big problem with caregiving is often that families live in denial of the probability of the issue until the point that there's a crisis.
Right.
And then they're thrown into dealing with a crisis situation without real knowledge and the means to take care of it. They have to work all the time. You know, the problem that I wanted to discuss today is the problem of working caregivers who make up a huge portion of the workforce. About 17% of all workers are also taking care of family members 65 or over.
And if you put that in a context, that really comes down to 1 in 6 American workers is simultaneously doing that.
Yeah, and many of them are working 20 hours or more giving care to a family member, which means that they're basically working 2 full-time jobs. And that doesn't even get to the fact that lots of them are in their mid-40s, late-30s, and have children, and so the families are paying a huge price for it.
The other statistic that as well that might surprise people that you had shared with me is that of that 1 in 6 American workers, that 46% of those caregivers are men. So it isn't just the, you know, a stereotypical assumption that it's the stay-at-home mom that's doing that or the part-time employed woman, but it's actually it's gender neutral, in other words.
Yeah, I mean, the women still are the majority, and when you look at those figures closely, you see that women still do the bulk of the really heavy lifting. Men tend to still do more long-distance kind of caring than women, but it has changed radically. And it's another thing that we need to face up to is that the structure of our society has really changed radically over the last 50 years. And for all the change, women coming into the workforce and now basically are equal to men in the workforce in terms of numbers, you know, that's had a dramatic effect on the family. It means that whereas in 1968, I think the number was that 48% of children had mothers who were at home mm-hmm. while the fathers went out to work. Today, that number is only about 20%. But now add to that the fact that so many middle-aged Americans have also to deal with their parents, taking care of their parents, and are losing time in that. And the consequence of all this is seen both in the family but also in the workplace because of the rising levels of absenteeism, and even worse than absenteeism really is what they call presenteeism.
I love that choice of that word, so that even if you are there at work, you're really not present because you're mentally, emotionally, and perhaps physically carrying all the other challenges at the same time trying to do what's right by the organization you're with.
It's a terrible thing, but, you know, the truth is that most caregiver issues occur during the working day. And so if someone's at work and they've got a mother or father at home that they're worried about getting the right medication to or getting to a doctor's appointment or making sure that they didn't get into the car when they really shouldn't mm-hmm. because they might lose their way and end up driving to Toledo instead of to the corner store. It's a tremendous stress for people. And so they spend a lot of time at work getting on the phone and dealing with issues and losing productivity. And to the tune of, Gallup estimates that lost productivity due to absenteeism is around $25 billion annually. The MetLife in 2006 put the cost at about $33.6 billion a year in lost absenteeism. You know, when you kick in how much time is also getting lost due to presenteeism,
mm-hmm.
You know, it's phenomenal. Plus, you know, individually, people lose a tremendous amount because they end up quitting work or having to take jobs that are less responsible or less financially rewarding than they might other be. Women suffer much worse in this way than men. It's been estimated that women end up losing about $340,000 of possible income over their lifetime as a result of this. Men are in the 260 $100,000.
Right.
But imagine, Zara, if someone said to you that you were going to have to withdraw $340,000 from your life savings or bank account over the next 20 years and just give it away.
And that is in addition to, of course, any cost that you might be incurring to help bridge the cost of other caregiving needs, medical and so on, for your loved ones. Well, Bruce, you know, we've set the stage, and it is truly as a wake-up call and a call to action. The other important thing to think through, though, is, you know, quite frankly, a lot of companies and organizations do provide resources and help. But I don't know that it's necessarily socially acceptable or people feel confident of sharing the distress that they're personally under, and they kind of keep it all to themselves, as opposed to turning to companies who offer flex time or employee assistance or certainly even bona fide benefit programs to help you cope and learn and take advantage of resources to get you in the right direction to help.
That's right. I mean, one of the things, I made a number of calls this week to try to find out what it's are doing, and I was actually surprised to find out that a number of, you know, a fair chunk of businesses, the larger companies more likely than smaller, have become very active because they see the consequence to business. But one of the major problems is that even in those companies that offer support and help, employees don't take advantage of it. They don't take advantage of it either because they don't know about it or because they're scared mm-hmm. of how it will look to their employers if they let them know that they have these issues.
Well, particularly at a time when they've watched divisions, coworkers, job, you know, reductions, et cetera, with the state of the economy that it's been in over the last couple of years.
Absolutely, and it's understandable. I mean, you know, it's certainly not a time that anyone wants to flag issues that may keep them from giving 100% of their attention to their job. On the other hand, what I was told repeatedly by people who study this and by, I had a great conversation with a vice president at Prudential Financial, that they much prefer in those places, particularly those places that have taken initiative in this, that workers engage with people at work who are representatives of employment assistance programs or whatever programs they have, because what they see is that, first of all, it allows, I think the average number of days missed by caregivers in this country is something like 6.6 a year, which may not seem like a lot, but if it's just you calling in because you're just too tired mm-hmm. or too anxious to go to work, that means that work that, you know, someone else is going to have to do the work, and it creates a lot of problems within business. So, you know, businesses would much prefer to be able to help you through it and plan. And what they've seen and what I've been told is that, you know, the payoff for business is rather large. If, you know, I've seen various estimates, but the lowest is that for every dollar that companies are paying to provide benefits to help with flexibility or caregiving and so forth, they're getting back somewhere between $3 and $13 in return on their investment. So they see, you know, they may want to be compassionate, but their interest is always, of course, the bottom line, and they see a great bottom line return in helping employees. So it's really to employees' benefit to go to their HRs, their human relations department, and ask if there's any help.
But, you know, it's like always with any problem that we all individually wrestle with. We sometimes think we're the only one, or it's somebody over there. But in truth, you've got so many angels right around you that themselves are in the midst of struggling with the same challenge, or they've surfed through it in some way, or they can provide you the leapfrog list of suggestions on how to cope. But you're right, though. It still comes back to having courage, presence of mind, and probably letting go of some of the baggage we otherwise are brought up with, that, you know, I'm the all-knowing, I don't want to let my vulnerabilities known, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, I think that's really true, Zara. I think that, you know, I see two problems here. One is, and we have the ability to deal with this both as a nation and individually, and I think that one issue is that it's really incumbent upon our leaders, both in the political level and the business level, to step forward and to address this. And in corporations, it's really in companies, businesses of all kinds. I think they would be doing themselves a great service, and they would be doing their employees a great service by letting it, by really advertising their readiness to help. You know, I find myself really a little bit upset with the political debate, both by the GOP and even with the president. Imagine if there were a similar problem, a virus that was affecting 20% of the workforce,
right,
and causing them to miss work. Would we just sit around and kind of let it unfold, and knowing that it's going to get dramatically worse over the next 20 years?
No, we would not. We absolutely would not. In fact, we'd make it a national imperative and pull resources and brain sources to make this thing move to a different place. But one of the, you know, the mere fact that you've shifted from calling it absenteeism as a, you know, an issue, but presenteeism, that's, you know, as a leader of a large organization, I've had the benefit of being in the previous days, that by all means, I would encourage individuals and give them paid time off, even if it meant that they could concentrate and focus and get some of these real challenging things dealt with, so that then when they were at work, they really could focus. But I think the other thing you're calling for is a call to action of additional resources, and this would spell opportunities, by the way, for some entrepreneurs that might be listening, as to how to set up networks and support groups, books, knowledge centers that could help people. It still steps back, though, to one thing you started out with, and that is that this usually comes to bear in the form of a crisis, that we haven't taken the time to think in advance, to work with our elderly, to even know what their wishes might be prior to their coming to a point where they might not be able to articulate it. And then also for those of us that have siblings, to have that family meeting with your siblings, because I've seen that also come to play, is that one adult versus another adult, and they can't reconcile what they think is the best cause of course of action.
Yeah, no, that's really critical. I mean, when you look at this issue on the family level, what you see is that nothing is really more important than families really talking and setting aside time to address the issues that no one really ever wants to discuss. But, you know, it's just too costly at this point for everyone not to. So mom and dad may not want to reveal how much money they have in the bank, but frankly, if they're reaching that age where they are likely or possibly going to incur issues, children have to know. They have to understand what the future looks like so that people can plan. I mean, people will tell you that the most important thing here is for families being able to plan effectively, knowing, you know, what the truth is about what Medicare will do instead of the fantasies mm-hmm. about how people will get taken care of. And,
right.
And you know, that's within our individual responsibility and control.
I would also say for those that have business leaders or any of you that are listening that are the stewards of other people's careers, and that when you see someone, you know, suddenly the switch is flipped and they are not present at work, let alone if it means they're absent, but that they're not there for you 100%, is to not necessarily jump to the conclusion that the performance issues are related to not understanding the job, you know, making mistakes, etc., but that behind this all could be indeed this rising family concern and social concern on their plate at the same time.
That's a great point, Zara. It really is. And you know, again, in speaking to some of the leading companies that deal with it, they're working very hard with management to get managers to do just that, because, you know, it is about being compassionate, but it's also about remaining a competitive country, a competitive company. And, you know, so, you know, we want to remain competitive, but in order to do that, we're going to have to get creatively compassionate and connected to the issues. So, you know, it's important to get the message out and to you know, have a level of empathy. And I think the truth is that most people now do. Most people now understand, you know, the crisis of caregiving tends to last about, I think, on average, 4 years. Now, that's a long time when you're living it, that's for sure. But that 20% who are being affected is constantly changing. So, you know, if we want to, most people probably have some sense of this. And it's a problem, by the way, that doesn't just affect middle-aged people.
Absolutely.
Young people are suffering terribly. The health consequences for, you know, and that's a huge cost in all this for companies, is that people suffer additional health issues as a result.
Exactly, and those are staying powers. Well, Bruce Frankel, author of the book, What Should I Do with the Rest of My Life, thanks so much for this wake-up call. Caregiving for caregivers. We're going to look forward to continuing this conversation as we go forward here. Thanks so much. We'll catch you next month.
Thank you, Zara. Take care. Be well.
You bet.
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll-free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.